as our custom tangential opening for the podcast, Clay, I'm going to ask you, do you ever have trouble deciding what to do?
Like in life?
I was thinking more specifically. I was, one of my big problems in life, I think I maybe have mentioned this, something similar, is that I get to the end of my day and I'm like, I got five things I got to do. Which one am I going to do? And then I'm like, well,
the answer is none.
I got to think about this for a half an hour. I'm going to go down and eat some cereal and get like a cup of tea before I do any of this. And then before I know it, it's 10:30 at night. And I'm like, well, I can't do anything now. And so I just have to go to bed. And then I get mad at myself that I'm like, why didn't I just pick one of the stupid things that I have to do and do it? Because that would be so much easier. But I have trouble deciding what to do.
Yeah. It's basically my everyday is having four different things in front of me going like, ooh, I should do one of these. And then all of a sudden, don't have time to do any of them. So
just pretend that you're like, what's the most efficient way to do all of these? I better think about this for 3 hours. Yeah. You got nothing done.
Man, if just I've got two projects, like if I've got a drawing project and a writing project, I will spend like 2 days frozen, not knowing which one I should be doing, when the answer is maybe do one day,
just
and
one.
Do the other one another day.
But I think that's
sit there in the middle. But I notoriously, when I used to go to the video store, it would take me forever to choose a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just so many choices. It's really just a process of limiting them. I think I need a schedule. I think I just have to say on Tuesday, you have to do this. This is like, don't think about it. It's just, you have to do this on a Tuesday.
I keep saying that, but I never do that either.
Well, that's because you have to think about what you want to do on each of those. It's like, I could do this on a Wednesday, but I think I'd rather do it on a Tuesday. This episode of Star Trek Voyager is all about thinking about what you should do, and it's called Prey, P-R-E-Y. 16th episode of the 4th season of Star Trek Voyager, 18th of February, 1998. Almost to the date here. That's pretty close.
Oh, hey, look at that.
We might be coming up on a day that actually lines up with the day we're recording.
Is it called Prey because Aliens versus Predator was taken?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. they went with a illegals versus prey metaphor, I think. Written by Brandon Braga, directed by Alan Eastman, in universe date 51652.3 2374. In this one called Prey, Voyager finds Jesus. Voyager rescues a critically injured Hirogen hunter who wishes to finish his hunt against a quote resilient species, a recent enemy of the Voyager crew, as Captain Janeway gives Seven of Nine a lesson in compassion.
Yep.
That's editorializing your blurb about the episode, I think. This is Prey. We just got done with Hunter, which I think a lot of people on the Patreon and the Discord confused which episode is which, going by some of the comments that I was reading. I think we read a couple last week that were talking about this episode, and we read them instead. Gotcha. But this is Prey. Where do you want to start with this one? At the start of the hunt, what do you what rabbit hole do you want to go down?
First, I want to apologize to anybody who's on Health Watch on their bingo card. I've lost my voice again.
The little ticker in the corner of the video just went up by one.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on there. I don't know where a good place to start is with this one, because I liked it. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. I think they're continuing to get good stuff out of Janeway and Seven. And I'm interested, this is going to be a funny thing to say because I have been on every episode of this podcast, but I'm interested to know if you think this is a schizophrenic Janeway episode, because I honestly can't remember where this would come down on her general outlook on stuff. But for the purposes of this episode, the place that they put her in, I think, works very well as a counterpoint to Seven.
I'm also fairly nervous because I now feel I've boxed myself into a corner where I'm pretty sure this is schizophrenic Janeway, but at the same time, I'm nervous to just, I think that I'm confusing it becomes difficult to like either say the character is allowed to be schizophrenic episode to episode versus within the same episode her decisions are schizophrenic, which I think you see both, actually. And I can't think of an episode that she's openly contradictory to herself. I think there have been some.
Sure.
But I think I think Janeway's actually what holds this episode back for me because of that schizophrenic thing. And I think that this is another one of those cases of, in addition to her being schizophrenic, I also don't think, I have a very hard time telling if the show wants to give her argument equal weight as Seven, or if they're saying that Janeway is sort of out of touch with what she's saying in this episode as concerned to what Seven is saying, and whether or not I'm supposed to think that this is commenting on Janeway being wrong about what she's wrong about. Like, I don't know if the show wants to go that deep with it, but with what Janeway is talking about and saying in this one, it feels like someone should have a little bit of, it feels like there should be more pushback against her. Because in my opinion, Seven's argument has all the weight behind it. Like, Seven's the only one talking any sense in this situation, I think. And Janeway is, her Federation values are like holding her back, and it's actually being directly threatening to the crew and the ship with what she's talking about and what she wants to do in this one. And I think that the episode's trying to play them off as kind of like a point counterpoint thing, but I don't think that the situation they're dealing with gives Janeway's point any kind of gravity to it. It's like, you're just wrong. You're wrong about this. So I find it distracting.
Yeah. Excuse me. I think I like the point counterpoint that they do have between her and Seven, because I don't think it's the intent of the episode to prove that Janeway is wrong, or to prove that Seven is right. But I think the issue is Janeway's Janeway's point of view is flawed in this instance, because the story that she tells about saving a Cardassian's life doesn't apply to a situation in which the ship is going to be destroyed and everybody's going to die, right?
Right.
So, like, if this was a more peaceful situation where they weren't actively being within minutes of being destroyed, I think her rationale holds a lot more water. But if it comes down to,
I think it also holds more water if the thing you're trying to save has not been established as being basically an evil organism either. Like, if there's a little bit of like,
they do that through the telepathic link, though, when the thing is just like, I'm just trying to get home, I got left here by accident, and then these guys have been chasing me. They're building compassion that way, more than just what they've shown these things to be previously.
But that doesn't make it a good, the fact that it wants to just go home does not make it a good, like, a Nazi wanted to go home after killing a bunch of Jews in Germany, but it's like, that doesn't make you a good individual. And I think that the show has portrayed 8472 as evil. Like, they've been set up that way. They came in, all they want to do is kill everybody. When they did their first link with them, it's just like, we're here and we're going to kill you all now. We're going to take over this quadrant. So to feel...
Well, isn't that the whole point of Janeway's story, though? Is that, I mean, the Cardassians aren't great people. And
I would say the Cardassians are more nuanced than 8472 has been shown to
be. Sure. But I think the point of her story is to be compassionate in a situation and to a person or other that is, what's the word I'm looking for? That is uncommon or whatever. I'm not sure what the right word is, but I think what's interesting is nobody in these conversations when Seven is like, I'm terrified of these things because they're the only ones who ever put up a fight against the Borg and they destroyed a bunch of our planets. Janeway should be like, why do you think they started doing that? Because you're the fucking Borg and you tried to assimilate them and they fought back and they won. Of course you're afraid of them. It's a little bit disingenuous though there, isn't it, Seven? Like that's I think that's a fair argument to throw back at her, but they don't get into that at all.
I don't. It's irrelevant. I don't remember. Did the Borg go? The Borg went into fluidic space, right? Is that how it started? I think the Borg went into. I think that's how it started. But it's irrelevant. I think it does matter that they are not a species that has been portrayed as even remotely sympathetic in different ways. Like because the Cardassians are much more in the line of like. People within a sort of like fascist government militaristic state where it's like the state is overwhelming to them. But like once you get beneath it, you run into the humanity that's like under the sort of like apparatus of the state or whatever.
Sure.
8472 is just a monster that came into the quadrant and is able to kill the Borg. What the Borg should have done is the Borg should have assimilated the Hirogen and used whatever the Hirogen ships are made of to stop species 8472 from shooting their Borg ships and destroying them. And I think that would have saved the day.
Yeah, I think it's tough, though, because, you know, I think the easy comparison to make would be like, well, would you try to... would Ripley be compassionate to a xenomorph that had a broken leg or something? And the answer is no.
Right.
But I think what they've done with species 8675309 is they add in the telepathic element and go out of their way to show that they're not just mindless killing machines, that they do have, you know, personalities and their own, I don't know, social structure, whatever the fuck you want to call it. But it's, like they go out of their way to try and humanize them in a way that they hadn't been up to this point, in a way that you could argue if you want to use the Nazi comparison, where it's like, yeah, if the Nazis come storming into your town and kill everybody, you're going to think that they're monsters until you, but then at a certain point you realize, oh, they are just people. Uh-huh. And that is in no way an endorsement. I'll just put that out there right now.
Pro-Nazi.
But, you know, it's, I think it's, let's put it this way. I think the story they're trying to tell is a good one. I don't know if this creature is the right one to tell it with, given what they've shown from this creature up to this point.
Yeah, that's my point. If this was a Bajoran or something, I feel that there's a better argument. There's at least a...
what if it was a changeling?
A changeling shaped like a Bajoran.
Just a changeling.
Changelings are more acceptable than 8472, I think, in terms of the story. Like I would feel more sympathetic towards a changeling.
Okay.
Because I think that matters, at least like even if I think that the decision is the same. I think the trick of making it a sympathetic character that you really don't want to give over, that didn't do anything wrong in the first place, but is all that they want. Like, that's harder with 8472 because this thing came in as like an invasion force and was just killing everything that got in its way. And right. It's only once the tables have turned that it's like, oh, woe is me. I'm sad. I want to go back. I didn't ask for this. It's like, well, you came over. I think that's a mistake. Like if Voyager is trying to prevent a peaceful society from being hunted by the Hirogen and they have to give one of them up, I think that's a better story idea, or it's the correct way to tell this story. Cause I really have to feel bad about what I'm doing to this person.
But the point isn't giving the creature over isn't the point of the story. It's trying to save them is the point of the story. And so that's why you need it to be a species that is actively malicious, you know, because the thing that's on the table is whether or not you treat this enemy force compassionately or not. Like if it's a Bajoran, there's no story. Like that's
yep.
That's a story that they've done 100 times. Is we're no, not going to give this person over.
I think there's still a story there because it's for the argument of the greater good. If the ship is going to be destroyed unless you sacrifice one virgin, do yeah. you do that in this case? And that's the decision that I think matters. It's the
but that like sure, but I don't think that's the decision that the episode's about though.
You don't think it's the idea of like whether or not you sacrifice one thing to save a whole bunch of people? That seems to be the argument that the episode is making. Yeah, is that an enlightened society would not sacrifice someone because that is wrong, even if it results in saving hundreds of people.
Yeah, but the point of what they're doing is less about the sacrifice and more about being compassionate towards the uncompassionate or the villain. So if you did it with a Bajoran, it would be you'd be playing with a completely different set of cards for the story.
So you'd say
that's why what they end up doing is ultimately flawed, because as I said earlier, putting the ship in a situation where they are putting everybody actively at risk to save this enemy combatant, I think that makes Janeway look worse than if this was a situation that wasn't quite as dire for everybody else. If it was dire for, because that's the, if it was just a Bajoran and it was a matter of the ship gets blown up, if you don't give us this Bajoran, we're going to blow your ship up. I think that's a different conversation than what they're doing here, which is treating an enemy combatant with compassion versus just giving them up to be killed.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the same thing, but we're spinning around it. So, but like,
sure.
if they were to do your story, a version of that story would be they find the injured 8472, right, like adrift or something, and it's dying.
Yeah,
and they nurse it back to health, because that's showing compassion for right. what is essentially a monster species at this
which
point.
Which is more or less what they do in the episode.
Yeah, but I think that the Janeway decision about doing it in spite of the crew is what makes the moral heft here, because that's what Seven is fighting back against. And that's what I think makes the episode kind of silly, is because in this what they've done in this episode, no matter what their intention is, the decision is ultimately, do we sacrifice this thing to save everybody, or do we not do that and we all die? Which... Right. To me, doesn't make a whole lot of like moral calculus sense. And additionally, they make it a bad thing too, where it's like, I don't even think that there's much of a discussion about whether or not you get rid of this thing. And I just think that like where the point where Voyager's at, Janeway holding the position she does not only feels very schizophrenic, but it feels like, what have you been doing for 4 years out here? Like you're still holding on to this insane belief that you're dealing, like, the episode is kind of making the point that the Delta Quadrant aliens are much more, like, animalistic and ruthless than anything that's in the Alpha Quadrant. And so it's saying that you can kind of bring civilization to this wilderness part of space when it seems all evidence to the contrary. And I think that Seven is accurate. So she's like, Seven's like, I lived out here. Like, I know all these things that are out here, and this is crazy. It feels like a Star Trek argument that makes sense on paper, but in the context of what they do with it, I don't think it's really a debate at all. It's kind of neat to see the discussion, but it's not really like I can't think of one off the top of my head, but like a better example of a Star Trek conundrum about what you're supposed to do, where you go like, ooh, this is a real pickle about what we should decide to do.
Well, I think one of the problems with it is that they never touch in with the rest of the crew as to whether or not how they feel about any of this.
No. Yeah.
Which maybe undermines the point of the final scene when it comes down to, you know, obeying orders or whatever. But also at the same time, Janeway never says to Seven, this wouldn't have been an issue if you just did what I said. If you had just done what I asked you to do, and open up the wormhole or whatever the hell they're trying to do and send this thing back, the ship wouldn't have been in danger.
With the Hirogen still going to kill them? Doesn't Janeway bring that up to the Hirogen? She's like, I'm going to send them back. And he's like, if you do that, I'm going to kill you. I think that's the...
I don't remember.
They might. I can't for certain agree, but I feel like I know that the episode straddles them. Would they have to do something with the thing? They have to decide what to do with 8472. They can't just like send them back through the mud puddle hole to the other side.
Well,
I think.
I can't remember if what the circumstances are, but you know,
I would agree that
they could have gotten rid of him quicker if Seven had just, you know, done her Borg thing like they asked her to.
Yes. Yeah. And maybe they can outrun the Hirogen or whatever it is. But it's the, I think not checking in with the crew is a problem. I also think it's just a, I think even in their final argument between Janeway and Seven, which is that like, you know, it brings up the thing that we've been talking about in previous episodes that they've been hinting at, which is that this like idea that Seven's individuality is growing to a point where this is what they were trying to do. This is what they were trying to cultivate in her. But now she's being told that her opinion is wrong about it.
Right.
That's my confusion really, is that it doesn't seem like the episode is intentionally, like, is there a defense for Janeway's point of view here at that point? Like, Seven in that ending scene is making a lot more sense than Janeway is. And Janeway even ends it with a, don't talk to me like that as you were kind of thing. And it's like, well, that argument sucks. Like, you know, you don't have a point against her. And I think that the episode thinks that Janeway is equally legitimate in this. And I think that's wrong. That's clear. If the episode took a stand and made Janeway more obviously incorrect, and Janeway was sort of like doubting what she's deciding to do at that point, like kind of like a, like, oh, this isn't the decision that I thought I needed to make, I think it's a much better episode. But it doesn't end that way for me. It ends with the face off seeming to be equal, in that it's the show confused about whether or not it thinks it has made a point about something.
Yeah, I think what they're doing is they're presenting the Starfleet idea versus the individualistic idea of Seven.
Yep.
And so that's the conflict that you're getting, which is probably why they don't touch in with everybody else, because the whole point is that, you know, there's a command structure and Starfleet has a certain way of doing things. I think makes that final scene interesting. Like, it is a really interesting question raised by that final scene, though, right? Because they do still exist inside a structure of obeying commands, even though they are fostering this individualistic nature in Seven. So where does that stop? And why is she being punished for that? And I think it's, I don't know what the, I don't know if they go out of their way to really defend Janeway's position, because the position is that of quote unquote Starfleet. And so they kind of let that do the defending for it, which is
right. You mean like in the show's point of view, that is the correct point of view, is to have the Starfleet point of view in these situations. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I don't even know if I would say it's necessarily the correct point of view, but it's a shorthand for her point of view, I guess. So they don't feel the need to interrogate it in this 1v1 situation in a way that they probably could have in a different episode or a different approach to it. Because, yeah, I mean, if the answer here is if Janeway's like, yeah, let's save this thing and try to bring it back to where it came from, to the point that our ship might get blown up, you would think that eventually everybody else on the ship would be like, listen, I understand the command structure here, but maybe we need to think about things a little bit differently. But nobody says that. because they need to preserve the Starfleet thing in order for it to be a counterpoint to Seven.
I guess I think that that's what the problem is, because if you're going to make it myopic and you're only going to say that Seven is the one who's going to hold this point of view because Seven's arc to this point is to develop the sense of individuality, I think there's room in that story for Seven to push back, Janeway to acknowledge the pushback. I think that's my problem. Janeway doesn't acknowledge Seven's point of view at all, I don't think. Yeah. And the better argument for me is that Seven, in a better constructed situation, Seven being an individual doesn't just mean that you get to do what you want to do all the time. There's like limits, and we have to talk about this. I think that the reason the episode kind of fails is because Janeway is so immediately, I'm doing the thing that I want to do because I'm the captain and you're going to listen to me. And there's not a, there doesn't seem to be a realization on Janeway's point that Seven has a valid point of view that might be more valid than her point of view. But because the way that we're set up as a society on this ship, I'm ultimately the one that has to make the decision and live with it. Instead, they play them much more antagonistic towards each other in that they can't see the point of view of the other person. And I think that that's why the script isn't as mature as it could be. And it doesn't have like the... it's missing that gear that moves it into a... This feels like a real argument thing as opposed to two ethical points of view that are just diametrically opposed to each other. And I think that's what holds it back, is that that depth of what they're talking about doesn't exist.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think it's, you know, when I asked about whether or not this is a schizophrenic Janeway thing, I'm basically at the point where I don't even care about that stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as we've talked about previously, the failing of the show is not being consistent or really being clear at all about how most characters feel about certain things or what their point of views are in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they do an episode like this where they finally take, where they just give them points of view, I honestly don't even care anymore whether or not it's consistent episode to episode, because it makes the episode better for me just to have two people with clear points of view that are opposed to each other.
Yeah. I'm still generally bothered by it. And I think it's a,
I don't remember episode to episode what her point of view was anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I think what mostly stuck out about it here is the fact that her attitude seems like one that you would have just after the pilot, like just after they get shot into the Delta Quadrant in the second episode of the show. She's like, we're handling this the Starfleet way. And it like blows up in her face.
Yeah.
But she's been doing this for years, and Voyager's gone through some pretty bad stuff to this point. They just want to get home. There seems like sacrifices. It's the show not growing with what it's writing about and trying to turn things back to like a reset button, episodic by episodic thing. And I, as a character, it knocks Janeway down for me, I think.
I don't know if her actions in here are necessarily that much different. Would be that much different if they, in your scenario, only because the point of what she's doing is to be able to show compassion in a bleak situation, which I think is something she would do regardless of how many years that they were out there, you know?
Yes, but again, with a lot at stake about showing compassion.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
That's
the thing. That's the tough thing, is like when it comes down to the end of the episode, and it's, do we try to race to get this thing back home and risk getting ourselves killed? That's a pretty easy decision to make for the rest of the crew anyway, if not her.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think 8472 stands a good chance of killing all the Hirogen on that ship.
Like, probably,
It's not a... They even do the thing I was surprised by. The Hirogen doesn't even capture it as it's weakened. You know, it goes through like that regeneration cycle or something, and then it's just back at full strength and it's ready to kick some ass.
Yeah.
But if it is being set up as a alien versus predator situation, in those movies, at least, there's a fair fight. Like there's not really, you're not handing over 8472 with the knowledge that this thing is a lost cause once it gets over there. So, the hell is, I mean, which episode in general, outside of the sort of moral conundrum or whatever, I thought it was a pretty watchable episode. It felt like a decent action episode of the show.
Yeah, I thought it was, as far as the action one goes, one of the better ones. I thought the, I liked Tony Todd as the Hirogen, even though it's, I don't know, putting him under all that makeup seems like a bit of a waste of Tony Todd. But his voice, is the most important thing.
Is Tony Todd a good actor?
I think so. It's tough to tell because most of the stuff I've seen him in, he's kind of doing the same thing all the time.
I feel he just looks dramatically different, but he's always doing the same thing in every single thing.
Yeah, you know, his voice for these genre things is 90% of why you call him. But I mean, he was good. When he played Worf's brother,
bad.
I thought he was good.
He's good as that, but I just all... When the Hirogen is talking, I'm just like, this is Kern dressed up like a Hirogen. Right. Like it's the same guy. Yeah. I don't think he's bad. It's his voice is sort of, it's almost unfortunate. His voice is so distinct because his voice is kind of what makes it seem like it's the same person a lot. If he just had a kind of generic voice, like this guy's doing a decent job as a Sorogen, but he's so identifiable. I thought the action was good. The Hirogen are fine. I suppose at this point, but.
I was going to say, I thought the opening sequence on the ship was pretty sufficiently creepy. I thought that was good.
Yes, yeah.
The one
ends with the paint again.
Yeah, the one after where the when Voyager goes on their ship and finds the ghost ship, I thought that was pretty good.
Yes, yeah, and they find the dissolved body parts and those
CGI special effects for that alien are still pretty rough, though.
8472, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I thought they looked better in this one than at Scorpion. They spend more time with it. It doesn't look good, but it's didn't look as out of place.
I think one of the other things. Sorry, go ahead.
I can't remember. I was going to say something about. I liked the detail of. I feel like maybe we've seen this before. I like the detail about the Hirogen have no home world. They just kind of roam around out there. It's like a small detail, but it's neat.
I didn't love how they kind of. They kind of used some elements just for the sake of the scene than they needed and then dropped them. For instance, kind of going in the same vein as like, why didn't anybody mention anything? Anyone on the crew have any objections, or why didn't anybody counter Seven's argument with, you know, you guys might have drawn first blood there, buddy.
Yeah.
How Tuvok has a telepathic link until the thing passes out. And then once it wakes up again, they never make an attempt to talk to it through Tuvok again.
No. And all the flashbacks are the exact same flashbacks that Kes had the first time she saw. It's just the same images.
That alien face ain't cheap.
No. Just get a good shot of its eyeball. I think that's it. I mean, the rest of the episode, it's really outside of the ethical thing, is just the sort of action aspect of driving around with these guys. Did I have another thing to say about the Hirogen? No, I don't think so. They're fine, I guess. They're neither great nor terrible, I don't think. I think a lot is going to depend on their future appearances about who's playing them, who's playing the active Hirogen that you're talking to.
I also kind of feel like they might be pigeonholing them a little bit by just making them the Predator.
Yeah.
Because, like, what do you do with that after four or five episodes?
I was also, and I feel like I've complained about this in Voyager before. I cannot remember the episode, but maybe someone like Kyle will remember. I thought, or maybe it's might actually be misremembering Discovery. There was a certain Discovery season where we got to the end and one of the characters discovers what's going on and explains it to the other characters. And our response was just like, what the hell do you guys think has been happening this entire time? Like, why is this person explaining it? I thought we knew everything about the Hirogen last episode when we met them. And I didn't need Chakotay to be like, I read their logs. They're hunter species. It's like, I thought we knew this. I thought they told us that last episode, but maybe not. I may be wrong. Anything else about prey?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think that's it. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
The stuff at the beginning with Seven and the Doctor, I thought was very good, where he's trying to teach her bedside manner.
Oh, yeah, to be a nurse.
I like that. That was good. I also, I like the Doctor, use of the Doctor in this one in general. Where
yes, yeah.
When they want to treat the Hirogen, and he finally agrees to it, and the Doctor says, just so you know, I'm a hologram, so don't try to tear me apart or anything.
That's the attitude you should always have.
Yeah.
Don't be hiding scared in sick bay when the ship gets invaded. Just go out there with a gun and start shooting everybody. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand it's probably a budgetary reason, but I would have really liked to see the Hirogen try to kill the Doctor. I think that would have been kind of fun.
Like, just have him turn and the Hirogen just goes, I just had to try.
Well, I mean, it's canon. If he goes in there and he crushes his little mobile emitter, apparently that kills the Doctor, is the thing that the previous episodes have told us. So, thanks, everybody, for listening. This is patreon.com/thepenskyfile, or at least that's the best place to support this show, which is the Penske Podcast. patreon.com/thepenskyfile. Leave your thoughts about upcoming episodes. You can get 200-plus podcasts over there at Patreon. Whole bunch of stuff. Lots of stuff that you can listen to. And you also get the good feeling in your tummy about helping out the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And now we're going to go to patron comments. Thank you very much for leaving your thoughts, everybody, over at patreon.com/thepenskyfile. Our first comment is from Kyle Barrett. I'll read them, Clay, to save your voice.
Thank you.
Prey. Kyle says, Alien versus Predator versus Starfleet. As cool as that premise sounds, the first half is surprisingly dull because probably because of how toothless the Hirogen and Species 8472 feel.
Everybody's laying down for the first half of the episode.
Yeah, you got to. Well, you don't.
The Hirogen's laying down. The other aliens laying down. Everybody's kind of taking a nap.
They've already run out of 7-foot actors for the Hirogen, but it's nice to see and hear Tony Todd, even though I get the sense this ultimate warrior is so non-threatening that if he ran at a pigeon, it wouldn't move. But as with so much of season 4, Seven takes it to the next level with some fantastic scenes with Janeway. The last 15 minutes offer great character conflict, and it's satisfying to see Seven push back against Janeway after she's acted so smug and condescending all episode. Team 7. Hashtag Team 7. 3 out of 5. Taxel Bear says, Prey, conflict between Janeway and Seven is good as it's a welcome departure from the largely crew conflict-free earlier episodes, but I wish this was instead about a change of character for Janeway. She could have come around to the Maquis way and abandoned Federation ideas to a certain degree. I agree with all these things. Bob J. Kester's...
I think there's something interesting about having a character. Maybe we've said this before. I don't know. There's something interesting about having a character like Janeway who... in the face of this situation, being lost at sea, et cetera, however you want to describe it, clings so desperately to the Starfleet ideals for better or worse. I mean, that's pretty interesting. But that's not really something they do because the show is not really interested in doing interesting things.
Yeah, that also requires you to have a clear through line and you can't be schizophrenic about it. Like if you were to... this is one of those things where I feel if the show got a new showrunner, right, and was like, I'm just going to establish at this point that Janeway has been battling with this. I'm going to write an episode where she like just literally says that, like, the reason I make all these crazy decisions because I don't know. Then I feel that it's one of those things where fans of the show, we'd be complaining about the early episodes and they say, just wait, they're going to explain why she's acting this way.
Yeah.
But they never seem to do that. So you end up with her never really making any sense or feeling like she's at least, as you say, clinging desperately to the civilization that she knows in the face of all this stuff. Just have her say it.
Do the Voyager version of, no, wait, they're going to explain why the Vulcans and Enterprise aren't good.
Yes. Just wait.
Yeah. It's because they got the wrong triangle or whatever.
The spiky thing. Bob J. Kester says, Prey, I like that the crew occasionally mentioned Kes. Did they mention Kes in this episode?
They do mention Kes.
When did they mention her?
In the Doctor sequence at the beginning, he says that Kes used to run through these with me to help me learn better bedside manner.
Okay. I like that the crew occasionally will just mention the word Kes. Not often, but it's much more than the TNG crew ever mentioned Pulaski, O'Brien, or the Crushers when they were off the ship. But I suppose that makes sense in universe. The Enterprise would have had a steady stream of people leaving and being replaced, while Voyager is a closed community who would feel the hole of an absent comrade left, especially with her replacement being so opposite personality-wise. I like your euphemism of being so opposite personality-wise there, Bob. Justice for the Toon Shoe says, Prey, this episode on the surface was an extension of the Hirogen Species 8472 rivalry, but it really turned it into an episode highlighting the tension between Janeway's Federation principles versus Seven's approach. Their scenes together were probably the highlight of this not awful, but relatively pedestrian episode. I'm still struggling to understand what Tom was trying to achieve by making a joke about catching a mouse in the Jeffries tube. It must have taken all of Tony Todd's willpower not to burst out laughing when Chakotay was trying to talk tough in front of him. Three decapitated Hirogen heads stuck in their helmets out of five.
Yeah, like this is an episode where I feel like Chakotay should have been more vocal.
Yeah.
But it's tough because it's not, like the episode isn't about Janeway making a decision, right? It's not about Janeway changing her mind. It's about Seven. It's about the conflict between her and Seven. It's not about either one of them changing their minds. So
Right. It's
tough to, I don't know how much, as soon as you add a third voice in there, voicing their opinion, then it becomes about making decision, you know?
Yeah. Janeway doesn't make the argument. Does she? Does Janeway in this episode make the argument that we saved you from the Borg and the Borg are the ultimate evil? So why can't you see doing this for 8472? Makes sense.
I don't remember, but that's what I was thinking as we had kind of finished talking about it. The using a changeling isn't the best analogy, but using the Borg is, because that's basically what she's talking about in this situation is rescuing a Borg, regardless of the fact that it's a Borg, which is exactly what they did 4-7. So like I said, there's a number of things you can say to Seven to counter her argument, but they don't do it.
Yeah. I would have liked that. It still ultimately runs into the problem of the ship. Saving Seven was kind of happenstance of saving the ship at the same time. Like Seven just kind of tagged along as the ship was saved, but this is sort of the opposite, which is the problem. Changeling says, Prey looks into the mirror. Tony Todd, Tony Todd, Tony Todd. At first, this seemed like nothing more than an okay.
You got to say it five times, which is very, I always thought it was three because three seems reasonable. Five times is not reasonable.
Five is
you really got to want Candyman. You got to say it five times. Beetlejuice is cheap. Just three for Beetlejuice. It's five for Candyman.
The first prime number. Is it Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. I haven't seen Candyman recently. Five is a lot. Candyman,
it's
Candyman,
a lot.
Candyman, 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 Candyman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Run out of breath. At first, it seemed like nothing more than an okay episode with a good guest star, but it really bumped itself up in the last 15 minutes, starting with the scene with Seven and Janeway in a ready room. It's always nice when a show just lets a moral dilemma play out and lets the audience decide who is in the right instead of science bullshitting it away at the end and rendering the point moot. Four, be my victim, I mean my prey, out of five.
Wes, you called me, I came. Be my bride, Wes.
I can't even do a good Tony Todd with this fucking voice, man. Also, I know I mixed Candyman up with the Cenobites there, so don't come at me.
That's all right. Point extra G says, Prey, I think that's Tony Todd in there somewhere in all that costume and makeup. Janeway gets sanctimonious when she's holding the ethical line. You just never know when she will and won't toe it. Seven of Nine is a welcome addition to this sort of story, since the Maquis plotline has been largely discarded as they're all dead, though there's no one else on the ship left to push back against Janeway. Seven did sacrifice 8472. It was done to save Voyager. The question is whether she was right or wrong. Matt Ross says, this all comes down to Janeway versus Seven scene at the end. The rest almost feels like a distraction, but I have to agree with Seven here as Voyager really could be blown to hell easily. Janeway's acting on her high horse of righteousness as Dr. Crushes her levels of arrogance, and it drove me crazy then as well as now. Tony Todd is good as the Hirogen, and his dulcet tones sounding sounding like competent malevolence is perfect. The CGI 8472 fleeing for its life was fine. 3 out of 5. A couple more. Artorias says, pray Janeway a captain's duties to defend their ship to keep their crew safe. Janeway, I remember that time my CEO told me and a bunch of other people to go risk their lives to save the enemy and had no relevance to the mission so he could feel good about himself. So I'm going to do that here. Gosh, her character flips back and forth, hence why she's highly regarded as one of the most hypocritical captains ever. I wonder if this is bad characterization or if she is truly double-minded. You could feel the tension in the conversation between Seven and Janeway. I wonder if their real-life onset animosity played into their scenes, but it's nice to see someone standing up for common sense. 3 dead hunters out of 5.
I did like that in that final scene, Seven even calls out her hypocrisy to a certain extent because I can't remember exactly what she says, but she was like, just last week, you were about to do X, Y, and Z, which was completely different from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a missed opportunity. The Voyager remake would be great if you just remade the show and you like followed through on all these things. Jaren Hatch says, pray, where has this Voyager been? Last week we had an episode that actually remembered that the show is supposed to be about characters lost in space, and now we're getting a slow, multi-episode, new adversary rollout that builds off the previous episodes. And on top of that, we got tangible stakes, good cast performances, and a real character conflict. It's not perfect, but fuck it. More of this Voyager, please. 4 CGI shots of 8472 that still desperately need a remaster out of 5.
I will say, for its failings, I would rather they do this than not.
Yes. Yes, I would agree. Pray, a poem for Wes and Clay and all. A deadly race did once pursue our mighty captain and her crew. Their name was 8472. But now that race is under threat by hunters who are most upset that Janeway and her crew are set to save the old race from the new. As for the rest, thank God in heaven we got that opening scene with Seven. 3 out of 5. Beautiful. And that's it. That was the final comment. Ended on a poem. Thank you, JC Superstar, for your poem. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you for leaving your thoughts. This is like a 3.5 from the patrons, I think, using my loose patron math. What are you going to give it, Clay, on our scale of 1 to 5?
I would give it the same. I would do a 3.5, high 3 for me. Because I think it's really watchable. I think it keeps your attention. Even if the actual execution could be a little bit more fine-tuned. Like I said, I'd rather they do this and kind of get halfway there than do the other stuff and just be all boring.
Yeah. It's a 3 for me as well. It's like a good 3. Highly watchable. It's kind of about something. You know, it's pretending that it's about something. It brings up an interesting idea, at least if it doesn't really want to get into the nuts and bolts of how the characters would react to that idea. But the action was good. I feel like the stakes were pretty good. It's a good use of some of the aliens that we've run into. I wish the character work was more consistent. I wish that the character scenes and interactions were a little bit better. But you can't get everything, it seems. But I'll give it a high 3. It was good. It was enjoyable. Thanks, everybody, for listening. This was Prey, the latest episode of Star Trek Voyager. Thank you for supporting us at patreon.com/thepenskyfile. Next episode is Retrospect, and then The Killing Game, and then Vis-a-Vis. Those are the next 3 episodes. Clay, anything you want to say before we go?
Check out the Rotten Horror Picture Show on Patreon, where Amanda and I are covering the Halloween series, going in order, month by month, except for... We're not going to be doing Halloween 2018. We've already done that, but we'll be doing all the other ones. on our main feed, Amanda's gone for a little bit, so Wes is filling in, doing Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 with us, and then we're going to be doing Night of the Hunter with my cousin who runs a film noir website and podcast called Shadows of Noir, and then Wes will be back for another one, and then Amanda will be back for episode number 100, which mm-hmm. I think will be fun. I was trying to figure out what to do for episode number 100, and I think I know what it's going to be. We're going to do a Q&A, because we've never done one of those before. Mm-hmm. But we will be covering something, but I'm not going to say what it is. It's going to be a surprise.
Ooh, surprise. Even I don't know, people. That's how surprise it is.
keep that secret shit locked in a plastic bin in my bathroom, just That's like right. they do in the government.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you for the people who are watching this live as we record it. You can do that by being a patron and joining the Discord. All that stuff. We'll be back next week with Retrospect. See ya.